Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. The last great civil rights movement of the 20th century is not yet complete. The struggle to be treated with justice in the American social and legal system still faces homosexuals, gay men, and lesbian women. Our guest is Dudley Clendenin, New York Times editorial writer and co-author of the book Out for Good, which documents this struggle. Haven't all Americans who were not landed WASP men faced this same challenge?
It's even more basic than that. I mean, it's whether you can be an honest human being, honest with yourself and honest with the people in your life. There's nothing more basic than that. And that's why the policy, don't ask, don't tell, whether it's a military policy or whether it's the classical Southern policy or whether it's sort of the general cultural thing, don't tell me and you won't bother me. That's why it doesn't work, because it forces people to be dishonest. And that's what this movement and most movements are about, simply for the freedom to be, for people to be whom they are.
Dudley Clendenin is an editorial writer for the New York Times. He has also edited a book of essays called The Prevailing South, and he is the author of the text of Homeless in America, a book of photographs. Along with Adam Nagorny, a reporter for the New York Times, Clendenin offers us a glimpse into a world virtually unknown to most heterosexuals, and indeed to many gays and lesbians. Bill Russell and I invited Dudley Clendenin to join us in conversation at St. Mark Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, a remarkable church dedicated to bringing its message to all people. Dudley Clendenin, I am quite charmed by something that I think is called a magic eye. It's a digital image that looks just kind of chaotic and colorful at first look. But then when you focus on one thing, your eye plays tricks with you, and you can see in three-dimensional, and it gives you a whole different image. I got the sense in reading Out for Good and in thinking about the gay rights movement that in a very real sense you had focused on one part of radically changing times and helped me see all of those 30-some years with a new clarity. Does focusing on the gay rights movement, I mean, does that play for you?
Yeah, it does, because the thing, when we first looked at this subject, because no one had written a history of the modern gay rights movement, and we began talking to people one by one, we had to find who we should talk to, and we had to ask them who else we should talk to. And we did 700 interviews with more than 300 people, and it was a crowd. And then we had to find the pathway, the structure of the movement through that crowd. We had to find the focus, you know, that you're talking about. And the hard thing about this book and that movement was doing that, because it has no central leader. There's no Martin Luther King in the gay rights movement. There's
well, and by definition, it didn't have a leader, right?
By definition, or any other way you count it.
No. No.
That's not to say that a lot of people didn't try.
A lot of people at a lot of different times. And there are people who have who were important at the beginning, who had energy and who had ideas, who had passion, and who are still there and who are still important. Almost all of them are unknown to the larger culture. And they were unknown to us, I should say. And we had to find them, but they're not, they never became famous like the people who came from Atlanta who were King's lieutenants, or the women in the women's movement. They are in this book, and but they all had to be found, and we had to do a lot of accumulating and then a lot of cutting away to find the bones of the movement.
I was really surprised at how many ways the gay and lesbian rights movement cut across all the other things happening in the world, and in America in particular, in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Well, it's the only group that cuts across all other groups, you know. I mean, the two things about it. One is that gays and lesbians are the only group whose members have to stand up and declare themselves in order to be discriminated against. We're invisible. You know? I mean, nobody can say of me or anyone else, you know, you are homosexual unless I do, or the other person says who is. And the other thing is that it's the only minority group that contains every other group in the culture. Because the only thing that binds homosexuals together are feelings, feeling different in childhood without knowing why, feeling attracted to someone probably the same gender as you get older, and then feeling rejected because of it.
And that invisibility is a very important part of your story, isn't it?
It is, because people had to choose. People can pass if you're an African American, if you're of Asian blood, if you're Italian, you know, if you're a woman, if you're Jewish, if you're almost any other group. There's some record, there's some visible sign, there's some documentation. You can't fake being something else permanently, but gay and lesbians can pass. And so they have to make the decision not to. And it's under attack. It's in frustration. It's in being harassed or in being denied their rights that one by one, a certain number at different times, have made that decision and have formed something called a movement.
This is Dudley Clendenin. Bill Russell and I are at the St. Mark Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, with invited guests and Dudley Clendenin, and we're all going to be back in just a moment. Please be with us.